There's something that, I don't know, it really tickles me about this passage, because it's like, here's a parable, and it's so thinly veiled, like what Jesus is saying, that it's almost like, why don't you just tell him? And that's basically what he does. He's very, quite direct as he's giving this parable today. And he's really here criticizing, challenging, exhorting the chief priests and elders of the people, whom he knows oppose him. And he says, what's better here? The one who says, no, I won't work, and then later does? Or the one who says, yes, and doesn't? And what he's saying is, the scribes and the Pharisees and the chief priests and elders of the people who lead them all are the ones who are saying, yes, they are living lives of religiosity. They're doing things that look kind of holy, and yet they're not doing God's work. They refuse to follow John the Baptist into the ways of God and justice, repentance, right? They keep themselves at the very center of the scene and refuse to have God displace them there. So they occupy for themselves the place of God. And God wants his place back for their good, for their good. And they can't even give it. And they'd rather live lives of religiosity, doing things that look good, doing things that look like they're holy, rather than taking on the heart that God is calling them to have. Okay, and some of this stuff, as I speak about it, right, it seems kind of technical. It's like, how do we apply this to ourselves? You know, we're perhaps not caught up in the show of being religious people, but that we've allowed the love of God to come into our hearts, and coming into our hearts also to work through us into his world. That's much more important than any particular quote-unquote religious thing we do, is to recognize, realize that we are loved by God, to receive his love and to put that love into action. That's why there's a party here with Jesus and the people gathered around him who are being loved by him and can love others in return. That party is open for us as well if we do the same. But here I want to get into the question of how we might determine whether or not we are doing the will of God, because that's what this parable is all about. Are we hearing God? Are we receiving him? Are we following him faithfully? And why do I want to stop on that? Because this changes our lives for the best. This changes our lives. And that's the gift that I want to give to you today. So how do we see this? I think we have to go back to St. Paul, not the reading we heard this week, but in his letter to the Galatians, where he talks about the fruit of the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit is the fruit of living a Spirit-led life. And what is that fruit? It's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, generosity, faithfulness, and self-control. Okay, I'm going to read that list again. I'm not going to read it. I'm going to recite that list again in a second. But I want to ask, can we use this as an examination for ourselves, as something of a mirror, to see, are we living a Spirit-led life? And you know, this is the fruit of the Spirit. What does fruit do? It grows. So are these qualities growing in our hearts and lives, or are they not? If they're not, and if they're not in certain places, those are places where we're not living a Spirit-led life. And what do we have to do in those places? We have to love and trust God. Think about it. It's very, very simple. Right? Even though it may be a big challenge for us, it's very, very simple. Love and trust God. And if we love and trust God, then we follow him faithfully. But I would say again, I'm gonna recite the list. Think through, as I say those words, do we have that growing in our hearts and lives in every aspect of our day-to-day living? And in the places where you don't, I will say, you have not surrendered to God. You have not put God first. And it may be because, look, we don't realize it, but we put ourselves first, just like the chief priests and elders are the people here. We put ourselves in God's place because we think, you know what, I can take that challenge on by myself. I can do that. I have the control. I have the time. I have the strength. I have whatever it takes. I can kind of figure out my life for myself. That's the world that we live in. So we've picked that up along the way, right? I've picked that up as well myself. It's a fight every day to keep God in his rightful place, to say, you know, God, I don't trust in myself. I trust in you. Because when I trust in myself, actually, I start to get arrhythmia. So it's like, it's a good indication for me that I'm not trusting in God, right? And I don't want anyone here to get arrhythmia because they're not trusting in God. But there were places where we had the stress, right? The worry, the concern. We don't have to live like that. We can be free of that. But it comes when we sign ourselves over to God and we live a spirit-led life. So let me read the list again. I'll leave it for your reflection. And in those places where you experience a lack of the fruit of the Spirit, just ask God to come in and be number one again. Ask him to inspire you to trust in him more deeply and follow him there faithfully. Okay? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, generosity, faithfulness, and self-control.